reacted. I didn't stop and think about it. Just the thought of him touching you. My fists clenched at my sides and my voice trailed off as I tried to regain my composure. I was getting angrier by the second. At myself for being weak and letting my emotions get out of hand again. And at her for having this fucking inexplicable hold on me. Okay. Look, she said, taking a calming breath. I'm not saying I agree with what you did, but I understand. To a point. My eyes flew to her in shock. I would be lying if I said I haven't been feeling similarly possessive, she said reluctantly. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Did she actually just admit to me that she felt this way too? But that doesn't change the fact that you lied to me. You lied right to my face. I might think you're an arrogant asshole most of the time, but you've always been someone I trusted to be honest with me. I flinched. She was right. I'm sorry. My apology hung in the air, and I wasn't sure which of us was more surprised by it. Prove it. She looked at me so calmly, not an ounce of emotion visible in her features. What did she mean? Then it hit me. Prove it. We couldn't speak through words because words only led to trouble. But this is what we were. And if she would give me this one chance to make up for what I'd done, I'd take it. I hated her so much in that moment. I hated that she was right and I was wrong, and I hated that she was forcing me to make a choice. I hated how much I wanted her most of all. I closed the distance between us, wrapping my hand around the back of her neck. I pulled her to me, meeting her gaze as I drew her mouth to mine. There was an unspoken challenge there. Neither of us would back down or admit that this, whatever this was beyond our control. Or maybe both of us just had. The moment our lips touched, I was overtaken by a familiar buzz coursing through my body. My hands fisted deeply into her hair, forcing her head back to take everything I pressed into her. This might be for her, but I was damn sure going to control it. Pressing my body to hers, I groaned at the way each of her curves fit against me. I wanted this need to go away, to be satisfied and move on. But each time I felt her, it was better than I remembered. Falling to my knees, I grasped her hips and pulled her closer, my lips moving across the waist of her pants. Lifting her shirt up, I kissed each inch of visible skin, enjoying the tensing of her muscles as I explored. I looked up at her, hooked my fingers into the waistband. Her eyes were closed and she was biting her lower lip. I felt my cock harden in anticipation of what I was about to do. I pulled her pants down her thighs, goosebumps breaking out over her skin as I trailed my fingers down her legs. Her hands went to my hair and pulled roughly, and I groaned as I looked back up at her. I traced the edge of the delicate satin of her lingerie, stopping at the thin straps on her hips. "These are almost too pretty to ruin," I said, wrapping one strap around each hand. "Almost." With a quick tug, they broke easily, allowing me to pull the pink material away and stuff it into my pocket. A sense of urgency took over me then, and I quickly freed one of her legs, placing it over my shoulder and kissing along the soft skin of her inner thigh. "Oh, shit," she said on an exhale, running her hands into my hair. "Oh, shit. Please." As I first nuzzled and then slowly licked along her clit, she gripped my hair tightly, moving her hips against my mouth. Unintelligible words fell from her lips in a hoarse whisper, and seeing her come undone so completely made me realize she was as helpless against this as I was. She was pissed at me. So pissed that part of her probably wanted to hook her leg around my neck and strangle me. But at least she was letting me give her something that was, in many ways, so much more intimate than simple fucking. I was on my knees, but she was vulnerable and bare. She was also warm and wet and tasted just as fucking sweet as she looked. "I could fucking consume you," I whispered, pulling back enough to glance up at her expression. Kissing her hip, I murmured, "This would be so much better if I could spread you out somewhere. A table in a conference room, perhaps." She tugged on my hair, pulling me back to her with a smile. "This is working just fine for me. Don't you dare stop." I almost admitted aloud that I couldn't, and I was starting to abhor the thought of even trying, but soon was lost in her skin again. I wanted to memorize every curse and plea that escaped her mouth and know that I was the reason for it. I moaned against her, causing her to cry out as she twisted her body closer. Sliding two fingers inside her, I pulled on her hip with the other hand to urge her to find her rhythm with me. She began rolling her hips, slowly at first, pressing into me, and then faster. I could feel her tense, her legs, her abdomen, her hands in my hair. "So close," she panted, her movements faltering, growing jagged and a little wild. And fuck if I didn't feel a little wild myself. I wanted to bite and suck, bury my fingers inside and completely unravel her. I worried I was growing too rough, but her breaths turned into little pants and tightened into pleas. When I twisted my wrist and pushed in deeper, she cried out, legs shaking as her climax overtook her. Rubbing her hip, I slowly lowered her leg and watched her feet just in case she decided to kick me after all. I ran a finger across my lip and watched her eyes return to focus. She pushed me away and quickly righted her clothing, looking down at where I kneeled in front of her. Reality crept back as the various sounds of people dining on the other side of the door combined with the sound of our heavy breathing. "You're not forgiven," she said, and reached down for her purse, unlocking the door and leaving the room without another word. I stood up slowly and watched the door close behind her, trying to sort out what had just happened. I should have been furious, but I felt the corner of my mouth lift in a smile, and I almost laughed at the absurdity of it. Damn her, she did it again. She was beating me at my own game. My night had been hell. I'd hardly slept or eaten, and I'd suffered a near-constant hard-on since leaving the restaurant yesterday. I knew I was in for it as I headed to work. She was going to do everything she could to torture and punish me for lying to her. The sick thing was, I was kind of looking forward to it. I was surprised to find her desk empty upon my arrival. Strange, I thought. She was rarely late. I continued into my office and began getting things in order for the day. 15 minutes later, I was distracted from a phone call when I heard the outer door slam. Well, she certainly didn't disappoint. I could hear drawers and files slamming and knew this would make for an interesting day. At 10:15, I was interrupted by my intercom. "Mr. Ryan?" Her cool voice filled the room, and despite her obvious annoyance, I found myself smirking as I pressed the button to respond. "Yes, Miss Mills?" I answered back, hearing my own grin reflected in my tone. "We need to be in the conference room in 15 minutes. You'll need to leave at noon to make the lunch meeting with the president of Kelly Industries at 12:30. Stuart will be waiting for you in the garage."
"Are you not accompanying me?"
Part of me wondered if she was avoiding being alone with me. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. "No, sir. Management only." I heard papers rustling as she continued to speak. "Besides, I have arrangements to make for San Diego today."
"I'll be out in a moment."
I let my finger slide off the button, standing to adjust my tie and jacket. When I stepped out of my office, my eyes landed on her immediately. Any doubts I might have had about her making me suffer were confirmed. She was leaning over her desk in a blue silk dress that showcased her long, lean legs perfectly. Her hair was piled on her head, and when she turned in my direction, I saw she was wearing her glasses. How was I going to manage to speak coherently with her sitting next to me? "Are you ready, Mr. Ryan?" Without waiting for an answer, she gathered her things and began walking down the hall. There seemed to be more sway to her hips today. The sassy bitch was taunting me. Standing in the crowded elevator, Our bodies were unintentionally pressed together, and I had to stifle a groan. It could have been my imagination, but I thought I saw a hint of a smirk as she accidentally brushed against my semi-erect cock. Twice. For the next 2 hours, I was in my own personal hell. Every time I looked at her, she was doing something to bring me to my knees. Sly glances, licking her bottom lip, crossing and uncrossing her legs, or absent-mindedly twirling a tendril of her hair around her finger. At one point, she dropped her pen and casually placed her hand on my thigh as she bent down to retrieve it from under the table. At the lunch meeting that followed, I was both grateful for the reprieve from her torment and desperate to get back to it. I nodded and spoke at appropriate times, but I was never really there. Of course, my father had noticed every second of my surly, quiet mood. On the drive back to the office, he started in on me. "For 3 days, you and Chloe will be together in San Diego without the buffer of office doors, and there won't be anyone there to run interference. I expect you to treat her with the utmost respect. And before you get defensive," he added, holding his hands up as he sensed my quick rebuttal, "I've already spoken to Chloe about this." My eyes widened and flashed to his face. He had talked to Miss Mills about my professional conduct? "Yes, I'm aware that it's not just you," he said, leading us into an empty elevator. "She's assured me that she gives every bit as good as she gets. Why do you think I suggested you as her program mentor in the first place? There wasn't a doubt in my mind that she could hold her own with you." Henry stood silent next to him, a smug smile stretched across his face. "Asshole." I frowned slightly as the realization hit me. She had spoken in my defense. She could have easily made it sound like I was a tyrant, but instead she accepted some of the blame. "Dad, I'll admit that my relationship with her is unconventional," I began, praying that no one understood how true that statement really was. "But I assure you, it in no way interferes with our ability to conduct business. You have nothing to worry about." "Good," Dad said when we arrived at my office suite. We walked in to find Miss Mills on the phone, speaking almost inaudibly.
"Well, I'm going to let you go, Dad. I have some things to take care of, and I'll let you know as soon as I can. You need to get some sleep, okay?" she said softly.
After a brief pause, she laughed, but then didn't say anything else for a moment. Neither I nor the two men beside me dared say anything.
"I love you too, Daddy."
My stomach tightened at the words, and the way her voice shook when she said them. When she turned around in her chair, she startled to find us standing there. Quickly, she began gathering the paperwork on her desk.
"How did the meeting go?"
"It went smoothly, as always," my father said. "You and Sarah really do a superb job taking care of things. I don't know what my sons would do without the two of you." Her eyebrow lifted slightly, and I could see her struggling to not gloat in my direction. But then her face transformed into a puzzled expression, and I realized I'd been full-on grinning at her, hoping to see some of her trademark sass. I put on the best scowl I could manage as I walked into my office. It only hit me when I closed my door that I hadn't seen her smile once since we'd come back and heard her on the phone. Ten. My head wasn't in the game. I had a few things to show Mr. Ryan before he left for the day, had to get some documents to legal for signatures, but I felt like I was walking through wet sand, the phone conversation with my dad looping endlessly through my thoughts. As I walked into Mr. Ryan's office, I stared down at the papers in my arms, realizing how many things I'd need to organize today. Plane tickets, someone to pick up my mail, maybe even a temp for while I was gone. How long would I be gone? I registered Mr. Ryan was saying something, loudly, in my direction. What was he saying? He came into focus in front of me and I heard the end of his rant. "Barely paying attention. Jesus, Miss Mills, do I need to write this down for you?"
"Can we skip this game today?" I asked, tired.
"What now?"
This asshole boss routine. His eyes widened, brows drawing together.
Excuse me?
I realize you get your rocks off on being an epic dick to me, and I'll admit that sometimes it's actually kind of sexy, but I'm having a horrible, awful day, and would really appreciate it if you would just not speak. To me. I was close to tears, my chest constricting painfully. Please.
He looked like he'd been blindsided, blinking rapidly as he stared. Finally, he spluttered, "What just happened?"
I swallowed, regretting my tantrum. Things were always better with him when I kept my wits. I overreacted to being yelled at. I apologized.
He got up and began walking toward me, but at the last minute he stopped and sat down on the corner of his desk, fiddling awkwardly with a crystal paperweight.
"No, I mean, why is your day so horrible? What's going on?"
His voice was softer than I'd ever heard it outside of sex, except this time he wasn't quiet to keep a secret. He was quiet because he seemed genuinely concerned. I didn't want to talk to him about this because part of me expected him to mock me, but an even larger part was beginning to suspect that he wouldn't.
"My dad has to have some tests. He's having trouble eating."
Mr. Ryan's face fell.
"Eating? Is it an ulcer?"
I explained what I knew, that it had started suddenly and an early scan showed a small mass on his esophagus.
"Can you go home?"
I stared at him.
"I don't know. Can I?"
He winced, blinked away.
"Am I really that big of a jerk?"
"Sometimes." I immediately regretted it, because, no, he'd never done anything to make me think he'd keep me from my sick father. He nodded, swallowing thickly as he stared out the window.
"You can take whatever time you need, of course."
"Thank you." I stared at the floor, waiting for him to continue with the list of the day's tasks, but silence engulfed the room instead. I could see in my peripheral vision that he'd turned back and was watching me.
"Are you okay?"
He'd said it so quietly I wasn't even sure I heard him right. I considered lying, wrapping up this most awkward of conversations. Instead, I said, "Not really." His hand reached up, dug into his hair.
"Close my office door," he said.
I nodded, oddly disappointed to be so quietly dismissed. "I'll bring the notes from legal for—"
"I mean close the door, but stay."
"Oh. Oh." I turned, walking across the plush carpet in complete silence. His office door closed with a heavy click.
"Lock it."
I turned the lock and felt him move closer until his breath fanned warm across the back of my neck.
"Let me touch you. Let me do something."
He understood. He knew what he could give me. Distraction, relief, pleasure in the face of surging panic. I didn't reply because I knew I didn't need to. I'd closed and locked the door after all. But then I felt his lips, soft and pressing against my shoulder, up my neck.
"You smell amazing," he said, untying my dress where it fastened behind my neck. "I always smell like you for hours afterward."
He didn't add whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, and I found that I didn't care. I liked that he smelled me even when I'd gone. With his hands sliding to my hips, he turned me to face him and bent to kiss me in a single, smooth movement. This was different. His mouth was soft, almost asking. There was nothing tentative about the kiss. There was never anything tentative about him. But this kiss almost felt more adoring and less like a battle being lost. He pushed my dress from my shoulders and it pooled at my feet as he stepped back, giving just enough room to let the cool air of his office wash his heat from my skin.
You're beautiful.
Before I could process the soft delivery of these new words, he threw me a smirk and leaned to kiss me as he grabbed my panties, twisted, and ripped them. This we knew. I reached for his pants, but he stepped away, shaking his head. He moved his hand between my legs, found smooth, wet skin. His breath grew faster on my cheek, and his fingers were somehow careful and hard, his words coming out deep, filthy, telling me I was beautiful, I was so dirty, telling me I was a tease and how good I made him feel. He told me how much he craved the way I sound when I come. And even when I did, gasping and clutching his shoulders through his suit, all I could think was that I wanted to touch him too, that I wanted to hear him get lost in me the same way. And it terrified me. He withdrew his fingers, sweeping across my sensitive clit when he did and eliciting an involuntary shudder.
"Sorry, sorry," he whispered in response, kissing my jaw, my chin, my...
"Don't," I said, turning my mouth away from his. The sudden intimacy he offered, on top of everything else today, was too bewildering, too much. His forehead rested against mine for a few beats before he nodded, once. It wrecked me, suddenly realizing that I'd always assumed he held the power and I held none. But in this moment, I knew that I could have as much power over him as I wanted. I just had to be brave enough to take it. I'll be leaving town this weekend. I don't know how long I'll be gone.
Well, then get back to work while you're here, Miss Mills. Eleven. When Thursday morning dawned, I knew we needed to have some sort of discussion. I would be away from the office all day Friday, so today was our last day together before she left town. She'd been meeting with her advisor all morning, and I felt myself getting more and more anxious about everything. I was pretty sure the interaction in my office the day before revealed to us both that she was slowly taking more and more of me. I wanted to be with her almost all of the time, and not just naked and wild. I just wanted to be near her, and my own need for self-preservation had been plaguing me all week. What had she said? "I don't want to want this. This isn't good for me." Only when Mina discovered us had I truly understood what Chloe meant. I'd hated my desire for her because it was the first time in my life I was unable to push something out of my head and focus on work. But no one, not even my family, would really blame me for being attracted to Chloe. In contrast, she would forever be tainted with the reputation of being the woman who slept her way to the top. For someone as brilliant and driven as she was, that association would be a constant and painful thorn in her side. She was right to put distance between us. This pull we felt when we were together was entirely unhealthy. Nothing good could come from it, and I decided, once again, to use our time apart to regain my focus. When I entered my office after lunch, I was surprised to find her seated at her desk, busily working on the computer. "I didn't know you would be in this afternoon," I said, trying to keep any emotion from my voice.
"Yes, I had some last-minute arrangements to handle for San Diego, and I still needed to discuss my absence with you," she said, never looking up from her computer monitor.
"Would you like to step into my office, then?"
"No," she said quickly. "I think we can handle this out here." Peeking up at me with a sly look, she motioned to the chair opposite her. "Would you like to have a seat, Mr. Ryan?"
Ah, a home court advantage. I sat down across from her.
"I know you'll be out tomorrow, so there's no reason for me to be here. I realize you don't like having an assistant, but I've arranged for you to have a temp while I'm gone for 2 weeks. And I've already given Sarah a detailed list of your schedule and the things you'll need. I doubt there will be any problems, but just in case, she's promised to keep an eye on you." She raised a brow in challenge, and I rolled my eyes in return. She continued, You have my numbers, including the number of my father's home in Bismarck, if you need anything. She began going through a list in front of her, and I noticed how cool and efficient she was. It's not that I wasn't already aware of these things, but somehow it seemed a bit more apparent to me right now. Our eyes met, and she continued. I'll get into California a few hours before you, so I'll just plan on picking you up at the airport. We continued to stare at each other for a few moments, and I was almost positive that our thoughts were the same. San Diego would be a colossal test. The atmosphere in the room began to shift slowly, the silence saying more than words ever could. I clenched my jaw tightly as I noticed that her breathing had picked up. It took every bit of willpower I had to not walk around the desk and kiss her. "Have a nice trip, Miss Mills," I said, pleased that my voice betrayed none of my inner turmoil. I stood and lingered for a moment, adding, "So, I'll meet you in San Diego, then?" "Yes." I nodded and walked into my office, shutting the door behind me. I didn't see her for the rest of the day, and our terse goodbye for once felt completely wrong. All weekend, I thought about what it would be like to have her gone for 2 weeks. On the one hand, it would be nice to enjoy a full day at work without the distraction. On the other, I wondered if it would feel odd not having her there. She'd been a near constant in my life for almost a year, and regardless of our differences, it had been comforting to have her around. Sarah entered my office on Monday at 9 o'clock sharp, smiling brightly as she approached me. She was followed by an attractive 20-something brunette who was introduced as Kelsey, my new temporary assistant. She looked up at me with a somewhat timid smile, and I saw Sarah place a reassuring hand on her shoulder. I decided that I would use this as an opportunity. I would prove to everyone that my reputation was simply a result of working with someone as headstrong as Miss Mills. "It's very nice to meet you, Kelsey," I said, smiling widely and offering her my hand to shake. She looked at me strangely with a sort of glazed expression.
"It's nice to meet you too, sir," she said as she glanced back at Sarah.
Sarah looked down at my hand quizzically and back up to me before speaking to Kelsey.
"Okay, well, we've already gone over everything that Chloe left. Here's your desk."
She led the temp over to Miss Mills' chair. A strange feeling crept over me at the image of someone else sitting there. I felt my smile falter and I turned to Sarah.
"If she needs anything, she'll let you know. I'll be in my office."
Kelsey quit before lunch. Apparently, I came off a bit gruff when she managed to start a small fire in the break room microwave. The last I saw of her, she was in tears and sprinting out my door, wailing something about a hostile work environment. The second temp, a young man named Isaac, came in around 2 o'clock. Isaac seemed highly intelligent, and I looked forward to working with someone other than an emotional female. I found myself smiling at the sudden turn of events. Unfortunately, I spoke too soon. Every time I passed Isaac at his computer, he was online, looking at captioned pictures of cats or watching a music video. He would quickly minimize the window, but unfortunately for Isaac, I wasn't a complete idiot. I diplomatically asked him to not bother returning the next day. The third was no better. Her name was Jill. She talked too much, her clothing was too tight, and the way she gnawed on the cap of her pen made her look like an animal trying to free itself from a trap. It was nothing like the way Miss Mills would pensively hold the end of her pen between her teeth when she was deep in thought. That was subtle and sexy. This was nothing short of obscene. Unacceptable. She was gone by Tuesday afternoon. The week continued on in much the same way. I went through 5 different assistants. I heard the booming laugh of my brother in the hall outside my office on more than one occasion. Jackass. He didn't even work on this floor. I began to feel that people were enjoying my misery a bit too much, and maybe even saw it as a case of reaping what I sowed. Although I had absolutely no doubt that Miss Mills had already been informed of my temp nightmares by Sarah, I received several texts from her throughout the first week, checking on how things were going. I began looking forward to them, even checking my phone periodically to see if I might have missed an alert. I hated to admit it, but at this point I would have traded my car just to have her and her harpy disposition back. Besides missing her body, which I did desperately, I also missed the fire between us. She knew I was a bastard, and she put up with it. I had no idea why, but she did. I felt my respect for her professionalism grow during that first week apart. When the second week went by without a single text from her, I found myself wondering what she was doing and with whom she was doing it. I wondered briefly if she'd had any more phone calls with Joel. I was pretty sure they hadn't seen each other again, and she and I had managed to reach a precarious ceasefire regarding the flower incident. Still, I wondered if he'd ever called to follow up and whether he would try to begin something when she was home. Home. Was she at home now, with her father? Or did she think of Chicago as home? For the first time, it occurred to me that if her father was very sick, she might decide to move back to North Dakota to be with him. Fuck. I started packing for my flight on Sunday night, and heard my phone chirp from the bed next to my suitcase. I felt a small thrill reading her name on the screen. Pick you up tomorrow, 11:30. Terminal B near arrival screens. Text when you land. I paused for a moment as it sank in that we would be together tomorrow. I will. Thanks. You're welcome. Everything go okay? I was a bit taken aback that she had asked about the rest of my week. We were in such uncharted territory here. While working, we texted and emailed frequently, but it was usually restricted to simple yes or no answers, never anything personal. Was it possible she'd had a similarly frustrating week? Great. You? How is your dad? I laughed as I pushed send. This situation kept getting stranger. Less than a minute later, I received another one. He's doing fine. I've missed him, but am excited to come home. Home. I noted her word choice and swallowed. My chest was suddenly too tight. See you tomorrow. Setting the alarm on my phone, I placed it on the nightstand and sat next to my luggage on the bed. I would see her in less than 12 hours. And I wasn't entirely sure how I felt about that. Just as I'd hoped, the flight to San Diego had given me time to think. I felt loved and rested after my visit with my dad. After his appointment with the gastroenterologist put us both at ease that the tumor was benign, we'd spent time together talking and reminiscing about Mom, even planning a trip for him to come out to Chicago. By the time he kissed me goodbye, I felt as prepared as possible, considering the situation. I was nervous as hell to face Mr. Ryan again, but I'd given myself my best pep talk. I'd done some online shopping and had a suitcase full of new power panties. I'd thought long and hard about my options, and I was pretty sure I had a plan. The first step was to admit that this problem was more than just the temptation of proximity. Being 1,000 miles apart had done nothing to calm my need. I'd dreamed of him nearly every night, waking each morning frustrated and lonely. I spent far too much time thinking about what he was doing, wondering if he was as confused as me, and trying to glean every bit of information I could from Sarah about how things were going back home. Sarah and I had an interesting conversation when she'd called and informed me of the status of my replacement. I'd laughed hysterically hearing about the revolving door of temps. Of course Bennett was having a hard time keeping anyone around. He was an asshole. I was used to his mood swings and gruff attitude. Professionally, our relationship ran like clockwork. It was the personal side that was a nightmare. Almost everyone knew it. They just didn't know the extent of the situation. I thought back often to our last day together. Something in our relationship was shifting, and I wasn't sure how I felt about it. No matter how many times we said it would never happen again, it would. I was terrified that this man, who was all wrong for me, had more control over my body than I did, no matter how much I tried to convince myself otherwise. I didn't want to be the woman who sacrificed her ambitions for a man. Standing in the arrival area, I gave myself one last pep talk. I could do this. Oh, God, I hoped I could do this. The butterflies in my stomach were working overtime, and I briefly worried I might throw up. His plane had been delayed in Chicago, and it was after 6:30 before he finally touched down in San Diego. While the time on the plane out had been good for thinking, the 7 extra hours waiting afterward had only reignited my nerves. I stood on my tiptoes trying to get a better view through the crowd, but didn't see him. Looking down at my phone, I reread his text again. Just landed. See you in a few. There was nothing sentimental about the text, but it made my stomach flip anyway. Our messages last night had been the same. It wasn't that we said anything special. I'd simply asked how the rest of his week had gone. That wouldn't be considered unusual in any other relationship, but it was totally new for us. Maybe there was a chance we could actually get past the constant animosity and actually be... what? Friends? With my stomach in knots, I paced back and forth, willing my mind to switch gears and my heart rate to calm. Without thinking, I stopped mid-step and turned toward the oncoming crowd, searching through the sea of unknown faces. My breath caught in my throat when a head of familiar hair appeared above the others. Get a hold of yourself, Chloe. Jesus. I tried once more to get my body under control and looked up again. Fuck. I am so screwed. There he was, looking better than I'd ever seen him. How the hell does someone get better looking in 9 days? And coming off of an airplane, no less. He stood nearly a head taller than anyone around him, the kind of tall that stands out in a crowd, and I gave thanks to the universe for that. His dark hair was a nightmare as usual. No doubt he'd had his hands in it 100 times during the last hour. He wore dark slacks, a charcoal blazer, and a white dress shirt that was unbuttoned at the neck. He looked tired and had a bit of stubble on his face, but that wasn't what had my heart beating a mile a minute. He'd been looking down at the ground, but the moment our eyes met, his face split into the most genuinely happy smile I'd ever seen. Before I could stop it, I felt my own smile explode, wide and giddy. He stopped in front of me, a slightly tenser look taking over his features, while both of us waited for the other to say something. "Hi," I said awkwardly, trying to ease some of the tension between us. Every part of me wanted to pull him into the ladies' room, but somehow I doubted that was the proper way to greet your boss. Not that that had ever mattered before. "Hi," he answered, his brow furrowed slightly. Fuck, snap out of it, Chloe. We both turned, heading toward the baggage claim, and I felt goosebumps spread across my skin just being near him. "How was your flight?" I asked, knowing how much he hated flying commercial airlines, even if it was first class. This was so ridiculous. I wished he would just say something asinine so I could go back to yelling at him. He thought about it for a moment before answering. "It was pleasant enough, once we actually got off the ground. I don't like how crowded the planes are." We stopped and waited, surrounded by bustling people, but the only thing I noticed was the tension building between us, and every inch of space between our bodies. "And your father's health?" he asked a moment later. I nodded. "Benign. Thanks for asking."
"Of course."
Minutes passed in uncomfortable silence, and I was more than a bit relieved when I saw his luggage slide down the conveyor belt. We both reached for it at the same time, and our hands touched briefly on the handle. Pulling back, I glanced up to find he was watching me. My stomach dropped at the familiar look of hunger in his eyes. We both muttered apologies, and I looked away, but not before noticing the slight smirk on his face. Fortunately, it was time to pick up the rental car, and we headed to the parking garage. He looked pleased as we approached the luxury rental, a Benz SLS AMG. He loved to drive, well, he loved to drive fast, and I always made a point of ordering something fun for him when he needed a car.
"Very nice, Miss Mills," he said, his hand sliding along the hood. "Remind me to think about giving you a raise."
I felt the familiar desire to punch him spread through my body, and it calmed me. Everything was so much clearer when he was being an outright douche. Pressing the button to release the trunk, I gave him a reproachful look and stepped aside for him to put his things away. He took off his jacket and handed it to me. I shoved it into the trunk.
"Careful," he admonished.
"I'm not a bellhop. Put your own damn coat away." He laughed and bent to lift his suitcase.
"Christ, I just wanted you to hold it for a moment."
"Oh." My cheeks flushed at my overreaction. I reached in and grabbed the coat, smoothing it over my arm. "Sorry."
"Why do you always assume I'm being a jerk?"
"Because you usually are?" With another laugh, he hoisted the suitcase into the trunk.
"You must have missed me a lot."
I started to answer, but got distracted instead, watching the muscles of his back tighten his shirt as he placed his luggage in the trunk next to mine. Up close, I saw that the dress shirt had a subtle gray print and was tailored to fit his broad shoulders and narrow waist without any extra fabric bunching anywhere. His pants were dark gray and crisply pressed. I was pretty sure he'd never done his own laundry. And damn, who would blame him when tailored, dry-cleaned clothes made him so completely fuckable? Stop. Stop! He closed the trunk with a slam, breaking me out of my daze, and I placed the keys in his waiting hand. He walked over and opened my door, waiting for me to be seated before closing it behind me.
"Yeah, you're a real gentleman," I thought.
We drove in silence, the only sound provided by the purr of the engine and the GPS calling out directions to the hotel. I busied myself going over our schedule, trying to ignore the man next to me. I wanted to look at him, to study his face. I wanted to reach out and touch the slight stubble on his jaw, to tell him to pull over and touch me. All these thoughts ran through my mind, making it impossible to concentrate on the papers in front of me. The time apart hadn't lessened his hold over me at all. If anything, it made it stronger. I wanted to ask him how the last 2 weeks had been. I actually wanted to know how he was. With a sigh, I closed the folder in my lap and turned to look out the window. We must have passed ocean and navy ships and people on the streets, but I didn't see a thing. The only thing on my mind was what was inside the car. I felt every movement, every breath. His fingers tapped along the steering wheel. The leather squeaked when he shifted in his seat. His scent filled the closed space and made it impossible to remember why I needed to resist. He completely surrounded me. I needed to be strong and be my own person, to prove that I controlled my path in life. But every part of me ached to feel him. I needed to regroup at the hotel before this conference, but with him so close, all my best intentions got away from me.
"Are you okay, Miss Mills?"
The sound of his voice startled me, and I turned to meet his hazel eyes, my stomach fluttering at the intensity behind them. How had I forgotten how long his lashes were?
"We're here."
He motioned to the hotel, and I was surprised to see I hadn't even noticed.
"Is everything all right?"
"Yeah," I answered quickly. "Just been a long day."
"Hmm," he murmured, continuing to look at me.
I saw his gaze flicker to my mouth, and God, I wanted him to kiss me. I missed the command of his mouth on mine, as if there were nothing in the world he wanted more than to taste me. And sometimes I suspected that might actually be true. As if drawn to him, I leaned forward in my seat. A hum of electricity buzzed between us, and his gaze flickered back to my eyes. He leaned in to meet me, and I could feel his hot breath against my mouth. Suddenly my door opened, and I jumped back into my seat, shocked to see the valet standing there expectantly, hand outstretched. I stepped out of the car, inhaling the air that wasn't permeated by his intoxicating scent. The valet took the bags, and Mr. Ryan excused himself to take a phone call while I checked us in. The hotel was packed with fellow conference attendees, and I saw several familiar faces. I had made plans to meet up with a group of other students in my program sometime on the trip. I waved to a woman I recognized. It would be great to get out with some friends while we were here. The last thing I needed was to sit alone in my hotel room and fantasize about the man down the hall. After receiving our keys and seeing that the bellhop would take our bags to our rooms, I headed to the lounge in search of Mr. Ryan. The welcome reception was in full swing, and when I scanned the large room, I found him standing next to a tall brunette. They stood close together, his head bent slightly as he listened to her. His head blocked her face from my view, and my eyes narrowed when I noticed her hand reach up and grip his forearm. She laughed at something he'd said, and he pulled away slightly, allowing me a better look. She was beautiful, with shoulder-length, straight dark hair. As I watched, she placed something in his hand and folded his fingers around it. A strange look crossed his face as he bent his head to examine the object in his palm. "You have got to be kidding me. Did she just give him her room key?" I watched for a moment more, and then something inside me snapped as he continued to stare at the key as if he was considering pocketing it. The thought of him looking at someone else with the same intensity, the thought of him wanting someone else at all, made my stomach twist with anger. Before I could stop myself, I was moving across the room until I stood beside them. I placed my hand on his forearm, and he blinked over to me, a surprised, questioning expression on his face. "Bennett, are you ready to head upstairs?" I asked quietly. His eyes widened, and his mouth opened in shock. I'd never seen him look so utterly at a loss for words. And then I realized. I'd never said his name before. "Bennett?" I asked once more, and something flickered across his face. Slowly the corner of his mouth lifted into a smile, and our eyes locked for a moment. Turning back to her, he smiled indulgently and spoke in a voice so smooth it sent a tremor through me.
"Excuse us," he said, discreetly placing her key back in her hand. "As you can see, I didn't come here alone."
The bright pulse of victory in my chest completely overshadowed the horror I should have been feeling. He pressed his warm hand to the small of my back as he led us out of the lounge and down the hall. But the closer we got to the elevators, the more my elation was replaced with something else. I began to panic as I realized how irrationally I had acted. The reminder of our constant cat-and-mouse game exhausted me. How many times a year did he travel? And how often would he get a room key pressed into his palm? Would I be there every time to pull him back? If I wasn't, would he happily skip upstairs with someone else? And truly, who the fuck did I think I could be to him? I shouldn't care. My heart was racing, the sound of my blood rushing in my ears. Three other couples joined us in the elevator, and I prayed I could make it to my room before I exploded. I couldn't believe what I'd just done. I glanced up to see him wearing a triumphant smirk. I took a deep breath and tried to remind myself that this was exactly why I needed to stay away. What happened down there was completely out of character for me and completely unprofessional of both of us in such a public work setting. I wanted to scream at him, to hurt him and enrage him like he had me, but it was getting harder and harder to find the will. We rode up in tense silence until the last couple stepped out, leaving us alone. I closed my eyes, just trying to breathe, but of course all I could smell was him. I didn't want him with someone else, and that feeling was so overwhelming that it took my breath away. And it was terrifying. Because if I was to be honest, he could break my heart. He could break me. The elevator stopped, and with a quiet ding, the doors opened at our floor.
"Chloe,"
he prompted, his hand pressed to my back. I turned, rushing out of the elevator.
"Where are you going?" he shouted after me,
I heard his footsteps and knew there was going to be trouble.
Chloe, wait!
I couldn't outrun him forever. I wasn't even sure I wanted to anymore.
XIII. A million thoughts ran through my mind in that second. We couldn't keep doing this. Either this would continue or it had to stop. Now. It was interfering with my business, my sleep, my head, my fucking life. But no matter how much I tried to kid myself, I knew what I wanted. I couldn't let her leave. She practically sprinted down the hall, but I chased after her. You can't pull something like that and then expect me to just let you walk away. The hell I can't, she yelled over her shoulder. She reached her room and fumbled with her key before shoving it into the slot. I reached the door just as she got it open, meeting her eyes briefly before she ran in and tried to force it closed. My hand shot out, pushing it open so violently that it crashed into the wall behind it. What the fuck do you think you're doing? She yelled. She stepped into the bathroom opposite the door and spun around to face me. Will you quit running from me? I followed her, my voice echoing in the small space. If this is about that woman downstairs... She looked impossibly more furious at my words and took a step toward me. Don't you dare go there. I have never acted like a jealous girlfriend. She shook her head in disgust before turning to the counter and rummaging through her purse. I stared at her as she grew more and more frustrated. What else could this be about? I was completely bewildered. Her anger usually had me slammed against something and half naked by now. Here, she seemed genuinely upset. You think I would be interested in any random woman who puts her room key in my hand? What the hell kind of man do you think I am? She slammed a brush on the counter, looking up at me furiously. Are you serious right now? I know you've done this before. Just sex, no strings attached. I'm sure you get room keys all the time. I started to reply, because in all honesty, I had been in relationships that were strictly about the sex. This thing with Chloe hadn't been just sex for a while now. But she cut me off. I've never done anything close to this, and I don't know how to navigate it anymore, she said, her voice getting louder with each word. But when I'm with you, it's like nothing else matters. This thing, she continued, gesturing between us. This isn't me. It's like I turn into a different person when I'm with you, and I hate it. I can't do it, Bennett. I don't like who I'm becoming. I work hard. I care about my job. I'm smart. None of that would matter if people knew what was happening between us. Go find someone else. I already told you. I haven't been with anyone since we started this. That doesn't mean you won't take a room key if it's put in your hand. What would you have done if I hadn't been there? Without hesitation, I said, handed it back. But she just laughed, clearly disbelieving. Look, this whole thing exhausts me right now. I just want to take a shower and go to bed. It was nearly impossible to imagine walking away from her and leaving this unresolved, but she'd already moved away and was turning on the shower. Just as I reached the door to the hall, I glanced back to where she stood, already surrounded by steam, watching me leave. And fuck if she didn't look as conflicted as I felt. Without thinking, I crossed the room, gripped her face between my hands, and pulled her to me. When our lips met, she made a strangled sound of surrender, immediately digging her hands into my hair. I kissed her harder, claiming her sounds as my own, making her lips mine, her taste all mine. "Let's call a truce for one night," I said, pressing three small kisses on her lips. One on each side and a lingering one in the middle, in the heart of her mouth. Give me all of you for one night, no holding back. Please, Chloe. I'll leave you alone after that, but I haven't seen you in almost 2 weeks and I... just need tonight. She stared at me for several painful beats, clearly struggling. And then, with a quiet, pleading sound... She reached up and pulled me to her, standing on her toes to get as close as she could. My lips were rough and unyielding, but she didn't move away, pressing her curves into me. I was lost to everything but her. We bumped into a wall, the counter, the shower door, shifting and pulling in our desperation. The room was completely filled with steam now, and nothing seemed real. I could smell, taste, and feel her, but none of it was enough. Our kisses grew deeper, our touches wilder. I grabbed her ass, her thighs, slid my hands up and over her breasts, kneading every part of her in my palms simultaneously. She pushed me back against the wall, and a rush of warmth cascaded across my shoulders and down my chest, bringing me out of my haze. With our clothes still on, we had backed into the shower. We were getting soaked. We didn't care. Her hands roamed my body frantically, yanking my shirt from my pants. With shaky hands, she unbuttoned it, tearing off some buttons in her haste before sliding the wet fabric from my shoulders and tossing it outside the shower door. The wet silk of her dress clung to her, accentuating every curve. I traced the fabric along her breasts, feeling her tight nipples underneath. She moaned and brought her hand to rest on mine, guiding my movements.
"Tell me what you want."
My voice was rough with need.
"Tell me the things you want me to do to you."
"I don't know," she whispered into my mouth. "I just want to see you come apart." I wanted to tell her that she was witnessing it now, and in all honesty, she'd been watching it happen for weeks. But words fell away as I skimmed my hands down her sides and up under her dress. We teased and bit at each other's mouths, the sound of the shower drowning out our moans. I slipped my hands into her panties and felt her warmth against my fingers. Needing to see more of her, I removed my fingers and slid them up to the hem of her dress. In one movement, I pulled it up and over her head and stopped dead in my tracks at the sight of what lay underneath.
Sweet Jesus, she was trying to kill me.
I took a step back, leaning against the shower wall for support. She stood before me, soaking wet in white lace panties that tied on the side with a satin bow. Her nipples were hard and visible beneath the matching bra, and I couldn't stop myself from reaching out to touch them.
"Fuck, you are so beautiful," I said,
running my fingertips along her taut breasts. A visible shiver ran through her, and my hand traveled upward, across her collarbone, along her neck, and finally to her jaw. We could fuck right here, wet and slippery against the tile, and maybe we would later. But right now I wanted to take my time. My heart sped up at the thought that we had an entire night ahead of us. No rushing out or hiding. No bitter fighting and guilt. We had one whole night alone, and I was going to spend the entire time with her, in a bed. I reached behind her and turned off the shower. She pushed against me, pressing her body further into mine. I cradled her face in my hands and kissed her deeply, my tongue sliding easily against hers. Her hips rocked against me, and I pushed the shower door open, holding on to her as we stepped out. I couldn't seem to stop touching her skin. Down her back, over the gentle curve of her backside, back up again along her sides to her breasts. I needed to feel, to taste every inch of her skin. Our kiss never broke as we made our way out of the bathroom, stumbling clumsily while we desperately tore at our remaining clothes. I kicked off my wet shoes as I backed her into the bedroom, her hands raking along my stomach as she reached for my belt. Guiding her, I was quickly free of my pants and boxers. In a rush, I kicked them to the side, where they landed in a wet pile. I traced along her ribs with my knuckles before sliding to the clasp of her bra, releasing it and practically ripping it off her body. Pulling her closer, I groaned into her mouth as her hard nipples grazed my chest. The tips of her wet hair tickled my hands as they roamed her naked back, felt electric against my skin. The room was dark, the only illumination coming from the small sliver of light that crept out from the bathroom door and the moon in the night sky. The back of her knees hit the bed, and my hands ran down to the last piece of clothing between us.
My mouth moved from her lips, down to her neck, and across her breasts and torso. I placed soft, biting kisses across her stomach and finally to the white lace that hid the rest of her from view. Sliding to my knees in front of her, I looked up and met her eyes. Her hands